The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
When the Bible is studied, why are there different conclusions about the same Bible passage? And what role does prayer have in Bible study? This is our topic today on Grace in Focus, and I am glad that you have tuned in. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We believe in free grace theology, and you can know more about us by going to our website, faithalone.org. There you can read our daily blogs and find free grace resources. You can also find out about our online seminary and getting ready for our fall semester. That website again is faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Welcome back, Mike.
Hey, good to be back, Bob.
You've been in North Carolina or something.
Land of the Tar Heels.
Tar Heels. I know that. I worked at NC State with
the
Campus
Wolfpack.
Crusade
Sorry.
For Christ.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Who are the Tar Heels?
North Carolina University.
Oh, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
University. So I got that all wrong. What we're going to talk about today is a question from someone named Alan about prayer and Bible study, right?
Yeah. And so Alan here is asking, he says, I am wondering how people can come up with such different views on basic biblical teachings. For example, salvation. I mean, if most people pray for understanding and discernment prior to reading and studying the Bible, how come there are several different views of salvation and other biblical topics? What causes these major different views? And he says, I read Bob's great article on the role of prayer in Bible study.
Yeah. His premise is, if people pray before they study the Bible, why do we have all these different views?
Yeah. We all claim to be studying the Bible. How can we get all these different interpretations that aren't consistent with one another?
Yeah. Well, you know, Mike, Hebrews 11:6 says, God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Acts 17:11 said, the Bereans were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. It is not correct, I think, and I emailed Alan this, I do not believe that most people in Christianity pray and ask God to illumine their eyes to God's Word. I don't even think they think that that's the role of the Holy Spirit. I think they think as they read the Word of God, it's just automatic that they're either going to understand it or they think they're going to be guided by, let's say, church councils, or they're going to be guided by their denomination, or they're guided by their pastor. And of course, it is important to be in a solid Bible-teaching church because you will be influenced by your pastor or your denomination. But we don't just blindly accept anything any pastor says, right?
Right, and I think that's a problem. Like, I think a lot of people, when they read the Bible, they already go in with a lot of preconceived notions, or they say, I already know this passage says this, and I'm reading looking for this meaning instead of taking the meaning out of the passage when they read it and prayerfully relying on the Holy Spirit to help guide them on what the true interpretation is.
I remember when I was at seminary, only one of my professors suggested that we pray before we study the Bible. My Old Testament professors didn't suggest that. My New Testament professors didn't suggest. Just this one Greek prof recommended that. All the rest were just saying, okay, here's the methods.
Yeah.
You do this, that, and the other, and you get the final result. And a lot of people think that basically the Holy Spirit has worked in church history to give us gifted teachers who have already taught us over the last 2,000 years. And so pretty much every doctrine's already been established. And all we need to do is study church history. I remember when I was doing a discipleship group at a local seminary, one of the students came up to me afterwards and said, what you just said about the free grace position, that contradicts 500 years of church history. And I said, well, you're talking about Reformed thought. And he said, yeah. And I said, but in the last 500 years, Reformed thought has not been the majority position. Why aren't you Roman Catholic?
Yeah.
That's the majority position, or Eastern Orthodox. Yeah. That's close behind, depending on where you live. You're just cherry picking and saying, okay, we're going to pick that. But where was Reformed thought in the first 1,500 years?
Right. I mean, I think a lot of people just think it's, we just need to take, you know, a survey. The majority is right. Or I think they forget that the Bible is not an ordinary human book. It's a divinely inspired, God-given book. And the Holy Spirit has a vital role to play. So it's not like your regular book where, you know, it's just a matter of learning the right methods. As you said, you know, you only had one professor. I probably could guess who that one professor based on the way he treated scripture. And I'm going to guess it was probably Zane Hodges, correct?
Yes, it was. He actually told us to pray, and he also told us to spend one of our assignments, I remember, in the book of Acts was to spend 30 minutes meditating on Acts 20, 1-11. And what he wanted us to do is think about the words, think about the context, think about the grammar, you know, everything that's going on, how this fits within the whole book. Meditate on that for 30 minutes. Don't be reading commentaries. Don't be looking things up in your grammatical books or your lexical studies, you know, your dictionaries. Just look at the text and think about it. And he wanted us to look at the Greek text because this was a Greek class and we were able to translate the text in Greek. But you can do the same thing in English.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's funny how much, if you let the Bible speak for itself, how much clarity it gives.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
Yeah, no, it's funny how much, if you let the Bible speak for itself, how much clarity it gives. It's only when you start bringing in commentaries or so-called aids that you get confused. I mean, I know that was the case for myself. I mean, I remember 3 months after I first got saved, we were doing a Bible study, I think, on Luke, on the four soils. And I read the passage in the Bible study. It's like, okay, you know, only the first soil is unsaved. The rest are three because it says they believed, even though they fell away. But I remember in that Bible study, the leader said, oh, no, no. It's only, you know, the last soil that was saved. The other three are not. And I was like, well, that's funny. I don't see that in the text. It says they didn't truly believe. But where was he getting that? He wasn't getting that from the text. He was getting it from, again, tradition or whatever commentaries he had looked at before. But it wasn't until I read Zane Hodges Absolutely Free that I first, oh, he actually saw the same thing I did at that initial point in time. Again, it's from the scripture, not from some human poll or majority or commentaries. Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of people, they're reluctant to accept something as true if it's a minority position, if it's not held by a lot of people. But you see, that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
People aren't going to pray and say, God, show me if this free grace position is correct, if they're convinced that it can't be correct because it conflicts with my doctrine. It conflicts with my tradition. It conflicts with the denomination I'm in. And so they're like, so I'm not even going to pray about it. I'm not even going to think about it.
Right.
I'm just going to move on.
Right. They're not going to be like the Bereans that you just mentioned, or
no,
they're not going to be diligently seeking for the truth.
I tell you a passage I like, and if you all are not driving, you can look it up. Look in Luke 24. Starting in verse 31, Jesus was speaking to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And then it came to pass, he sat down with them, he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them. And at that point, their eyes were opened, and they knew it was Jesus. They knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Well, prior to this, he'd been opening the Old Testament scriptures to them. And here's what they say. They said to one another, did not our heart burn within us? That's Luke 24:32. While he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures, there's the key phrase, he opened the scriptures to us. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were gathered with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. And they told them about the things that had happened on the road and how he had made himself known to them in the breaking of bread. Well, notice he opened the scriptures to them. That's something God will do for any of us. It's not some magic thing he just did for the two disciples on the road to Emmaus.
Yeah.
So coming back to Alan's question, I believe the reason why there's so little unity on the fundamentals of the faith is because people are not open. They're not praying. They're not saying. Now, in some cases, don't get me wrong, there are people who do pray before they look at the Bible. Yeah. But if their attitude is, Lord, I know I'm right, so please help me confirm that, that's not the kind of prayer God's going to answer. Our prayer needs to be that we're willing to do what God said. Isn't that John 7:17, I think? Maybe look that up, Mike.
Yeah, sure.
I believe that's where he says, if anyone wills to do my will.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and read here. John 7:17. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority.
Yeah, and what the commentators often say, if anyone is willing to follow Christ and submit to him and obey him, then God's going to reveal doctrine to them. But I don't think that's what he means at all. Yeah. Willing to do his will in the New Testament, and Steve Elkins has a good discussion of this, he points out that every time we see the will of the Father, it's always believing in his Son. Hmm. That's not just true in John 6:39-40, yeah, but it's all the way through Matthew 7:21-23 and other passages. And I think that's what's going on in John 7:17. If anyone is willing to believe in the one whom the Father sent, Jesus, well, then they're going to know whether his doctrine is true or not. But if you're unwilling to believe it,
yeah,
well, then you're not going to know, because God is not inclined to open the eyes of people who are closed, yeah, people who are hostile. Just like you, when you were looking at the parable of the four soils, it was like, it seems pretty obvious to me, and you weren't swayed by the fact that someone who had more experience than you and probably seminary training and, you know, he's got an official position, he's paid.
Yeah.
You didn't go, well, he must be right, I must be wrong. But there's a lot of people who would go that way. Yes, we should be open, we should be willing to listen, but okay, show me from the text.
Yeah.
When it says, Satan snatched away the seed, lest they should believe and be saved, Luke 8:12, then verse 13 says, those on the rocky soil believed for a time, and in time of temptation fell away. Well, unless there's some time requirement on how long you have to believe before you can be saved, they were clearly saved. And the previous verse said, Satan snatches away the seed lest they should believe and be saved. If you could be saved and then lose it, Satan wouldn't be so concerned about snatching it away. That's because Satan believes in eternal security.
Yeah, he knows that anyone who's ever saved will always be saved.
Well, thank you, Alan. Good question. And remember, everybody,
keep grace in focus.
I invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On the next episode, why should we be assured of our salvation? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.